Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 5th of May, recording at 7:14 p.m. British Summer Time. This audio is going to be mostly about energy. Why? Because I think the world faces an imminent, quote, energy shock, unquote. Why a shock? Well, because I think most people are turning a blind eye to what's been staring us in the face, really, for quite some time. First, the demand for energy has been rising remorselessly, and with the increasing demand, or the greatest increase in demand for energy, coming from China and other developing countries. That's not going to stop, even if there's a slowdown in China. Anything other than a hard landing by China, which I don't expect, is unlikely to dent the demand in energy, which is more likely to rise than decline in that country. Ditto elsewhere. Now, also, refining capacity is really inadequate for this current environment. And it's partly a NIMBY situation, you know, not in my backyard. Nobody wants an oil refiner anywhere near where they live. And then there's the OPEC factor. And call me a cynic, but I think there's always a little bit of a political play here in terms of OPEC's policies. And let's put it this way. In the current geopolitical environment, they're not going to feel that they owe the United States or any other oil importers any favors. And they're unlikely to offer any favors. And I can't say that I really blame them in terms of their own interests, which is a wish to derive as much revenue from the commodities that they actually possess. Then there's the terrorism risk. And it doesn't take too much imagination to appreciate that this is actually increased. And equally, without wishing to be overly pessimistic about this, I think that oil installations, with oil very much likely to be very much in the news in the future, are probably going to be regarded as tempting targets by terrorists. Let's hope they don't succeed. But whether they succeed or not, what we have right now is crude oil approaching, and I feel, as I've said before, that it's only a matter of time before it breaks above this psychological $40 level. And that's when the oil shock actually begins. Now remember, although the dollar has been weakening in the last few days, and I expect it to weaken a bit further now, I think the dollar's rally is over for at least the time being. The fact that it has rallied means that oil is more expensive generally in most currencies. And of course the price of oil is still rising. And you're not a whole lot better off by purchasing distance, or let's put it this way, oil importers are not a whole lot better off by purchasing distant contracts, because they've risen quite a bit as well. In other words, the oil futures market is not anticipating any big downturn anytime soon. Now also, in terms of the blind eye that investors are facing this situation is concerned, it's a scary story. So most people hope that it's going to go away. And I hope they're right. I hope it does go away. But I want to protect myself against the prospect that probability, in my view, that this problem doesn't go away. Meanwhile, most investors are going to point to corporate earnings, and they're going to point to the stronger growth, synchronized global economic recovery, the relatively low inflation, at least according to official statistics. And it's very understandable that they would actually do that. But I was talking to Julian Burney just a short while ago, just getting a quick check on where the Stocky Global share ratings, how they're actually treating the oil sector generally, because they're going to arrive at their conclusions on an entirely separate technical basis. and using a quite good, very disciplined system of relative performance and volume statistics. And you won't be surprised to hear that their long energy shares, they're overweight in the sector right now, and have quite a number of them actually listed. Now, when I look at the energy shares, I think that a lot of these, it's amazingly, they haven't performed all that much. They mostly show base formations or are moving up out of base formations or have moved up out of base formations, and most have reasonable yields. So that looks interesting to me, but I actually prefer the commodities. And one of the reasons why I prefer the commodities is that all sorts of things can go wrong with the shares. You can have bad management, you can have problems with the reserves, you can have political expropriation, you can have accidents, you can have strikes, there can be acts of terrorism, all of which could really put a dent in the earnings of the companies involved. So pretty well everything has to go swimmingly, and as far as these companies are concerned, for them to fulfill their potential. Now, a number of them will, but I think that of those various different factors that I mentioned, and you could list more easily enough, that if they have any effect on the oil price whatsoever, it's likely to be bullish. In other words, push it higher. If there's an accident, bad weather conditions, anything of that nature is likely to push up the prices of the futures contracts. Also, the futures contracts are mostly trading at backwardations, meaning that there's a shortage of nearby supply, so that they just range sideways for a while. The backwardation is working in your favor if you, as you buy these contracts, usually 2, 3 to 6 months, or due for delivery, anything from 2 to 6 months or more down the road, as long as that backwardation shortage is maintained, as the contracts mature, come closer to the delivery date, by which all of us who trade these are going to be closing the position out, rather than actually taking delivery of the oil, that backwardation is, of course, working in your favor. I also like them because I can leverage those positions up and wish to do so. Now, you'll probably know that I'd lightened my oil positions recently, and I'm going to increase them again. I'll probably concentrate on the natural gas market for reasons that I've mentioned in my subscribers' comment today and have repeated previously. It's basically less of a political issue, but I do want to be overweight in this sector. In terms of the actual shares, I could play the individual share game, and a number of interesting ones are mentioned in the report by Donald Cox that I posted today. And I posted other reports. I think I had one up by Mark Farber not too long ago, where he mentioned a number of oil shares and possibly some funds. But the fund that I own in my self-administered pension fund is, of course, that Investec Global Energy Fund, which I've mentioned repeatedly. That's the Guernsey-based fund. But I'm really going to concentrate more heavily. I am currently concentrating more heavily and will increase this position in the actual energy contracts, and as I've already said, mainly the natural gas. Additional factor in my thinking has to do with the knock-on effects of a so-called energy shock. And one of them is that I believe this would hit stock markets, and it could hit stock markets quite hard at a time when we have seen the various rallies that commenced last March, or March a year ago, I should say, March 2003, have lost upward momentum, and we've seen a number of rollover patterns, been a lot of churning activity, which looks more like distribution than accumulation to me. Now, in a general market sell-off, I think the oil shares would be dragged down as well, although not so much as shares in other sectors. But any reaction would not suit those of us who are long. But I've got that to say. I've got that position in the Investec Global Energy Fund, and I've said previously that I won't add to it except on weakness. And I regard that as a core position. So I'll probably be holding that for years. And if the shares do get hit and it pulls back, then I will add to that position overall. So I do intend to build it up over time, and I expect some volatility in the shares to give me an opportunity to purchase more on setbacks. But it's the futures that I'm more interested in playing now, and you can see the charts on those. Preferably, well, they've had a run up here recently. They may consolidate a little bit, could pull back a little bit, or just continue on up. Yeah, but I'm looking to add, and ideally add on weakness, protect positions with trailing stops. Now, what about some of the knock-on effects? I mentioned that stock markets could be hit. I think bond markets would be hit also, because people would immediately start to think about the inflationary implications. Further down the road, they would concentrate on the prospects for a slowdown in the global economic recovery, not only due to high interest rates and a little bit of a squeeze, such as we're seeing in China, but also because higher energy prices are a massive tax on consumption, and that would be reflected in terms of slower economic growth. So, over the medium to longer term, that might cushion the downside in bond prices of the rise in bond yields. But initially, I think bonds would weaken still further. And bonds really do look quite feeble in here. Again, I'm on the sidelines, having taken the profit on my JGB and US Treasury bond shorts. But I said that I would reopen those in the event of a downward break, and we're getting close to it. So I probably will add to those positions. I'll probably short both of the contracts. I won't come in really aggressively because I'm selling them after a decline, and therefore I'll leave the door open for additional sales if they get a bit of a rally. Now, in terms of currency plays, it's harder to say what would happen there, but I suspect we'll see the US dollar. We would see the US dollar weaken a little bit further. But I think that the main implications would be bearish for bonds, bearish for government bonds, that is, bearish for stock markets, and therefore a bit bearish for corporate bonds. And probably not too much of an impact on currencies, except I would back a somewhat weaker dollar. And the other factor, would it have any influence on commodity markets? Well, it might generate a little bit more interest in commodity markets, so it would probably be a positive factor, at least in the short term. That depends how high oil prices actually go. Of course, and we'll have to see. If they were to go up a long way, then that would hit global GDP growth hard, and then that would also drag down the commodity markets in time, as it would affect consumption, or at least people would be concerned that that would be the case. So that's the way I'm playing it. Now, what do we have here just today? We've had stock market rallies generally. A little bit of a mixed performance in Asia. Japan still closed, although I believe it reopens for the Golden Week, but it reopens tomorrow. But the European markets were all up here today, and they bounced around for a while, but then closed with modest gains, mostly between half and three quarters of 1%. A little better in a couple of instances. Wall Street's been a little up and a little down most of the day. Currently up about 12 points in the Dow, 4 on the S&P, 13 and a half on the NASDAQ Composite Index. You know my strategy, I'm net short overall, and therefore, and I've also mentioned that I want that to cover, I feel I've got to trade these positions. Markets could very easily range sideways for a number of months in here, but my gut hunch is that the risk of a significant move on the downside is much greater than the risk of a significant move on the upside. That's a guess, of course, just like anyone else's view on markets. But I feel I do have to trade these, so when they rally, I'll let out a few more shorts. I didn't today, but if we see further rally Thursday and Friday, I'll probably increase my short position slightly, and then the strategy would be to lighten if the as and when these contracts actually sell off. Bonds I've already mentioned. I think I'm going to have to jump on board because they really do look quite vulnerable to an additional sell-off. In the currency markets, I've mentioned I started saying last week we were getting clues that the euro was going to firm up against the US dollar, basically indicating the US dollar's rally was over for at least the short term, and that we'd had a tradable signal as well. I think earlier in the week, I think that was on, no, it was actually, it was last Friday when I wasn't here. And I'm playing this through a position that I've had for a while, which is the euro-yen. Got up to 132.90 here earlier today before backing off. It's down 20 ticks here, 132.10, but still in the money, although not all that much. In terms of the metals, now I bought the lead yesterday. I'm certainly going to add to my metal positions, and it really could be just about anything in here in this sector, as long as the dollar looks like it's retracing some of those gains. I think the bias will be on the upside, but the only big position I have at the moment is in silver, and that's the most volatile, but I think that they're all within buying ranges right now. Choppy performance, we can count on that. So this is this is an environment that will continue to test the nerves, but choppy environments also create some trading opportunities as well. And last, let me just run through a couple of those oil prices. Spot crude, NYME 39.58. As I speak. Gold, a little bit higher here today, 393.55. Palladium, slightly down, closed at 254. Silver last at 611.5. And if I look at the LME traded metals, the only one that was down today is aluminium. And still an unwinding going on in terms of some of those previous long positions. It was the last one to peak, so that's not surprising. Lead, which I bought, is up a little bit today, but it's still a dollar below where I bought it, closed at 737. The ones I probably favor the most to have the backwardations, those are platinum, copper, tin, lead, and nickel. And although that nickel backwardation has really come right in, it's just about square. Okay, have a terrific evening.